Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Like the show, then tell a friend. Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Because of Cam Newton signing, I'm sticking with the New England Patriots winning the AFC East.
Ravens.
I will go with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, let's go Chalk. Chiefs.
I'm going with the Denver Broncos. I like Drew Lock. Go ahead and save that cut. I like the Colts at least enough to get into the playoffs as a wild card team. And I wanted to keep them out, but I ultimately put them in. That'd be the Buffalo Bills.
Sounds of the past here on WEEI.
Some hits, some misses.
Yeah, I like that. Drew Lock hot
Drew
take.
I'm going to walk that one all the way back. I think I was drugged that day.
Oh, I got
That's
you.
That's been going around. I think I was somebody slipped something into my iced coffee.
Slipped you a Mickey?
Yeah, I think so.
Half a me. Mickey?
I'll say, Keith, you were a year early on Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
I was.
Do you think you could have been a year early on the Broncos?
No.
Possibly without Drew Lock, though.
No. And we'll sort of get... If Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater is their quarterback, I don't like the Broncos' chances. But if they add somebody, let's say, towards the top of the quarterback power rankings, then I like their chances a little bit more.
Interesting, because I definitely feel differently about the Denver Broncos. And next week, the schedule in the National Football League is released. In fact, it is next Wednesday. But I do believe it's a night release, so we won't get to sink our teeth into it until Thursday.
Thursday at 10, we'll break it down. I really do not want, and this was the scuttlebutt, a week ago, that it's going to be Patriots-Buccaneers on Thanksgiving night. Out of my face. I do not want that at all. I don't want that. I don't care that there's three games on Thanksgiving. I'm always all in. You know, you're getting your first couple of drinks of the day while you're watching the Lions,
well,
right?
Comp day, though.
Comp day. No, I know, but you're all excited for that first game,
yes.
Right? You're drinking whatever, maybe get some appetizers, and then the Cowboys game, and then you eat. And then, like, the night game, like, it's hard to pay full attention to the night game, let alone what's going to be the greatest regular season game in the history of the NFL, Patriots versus Tom Brady. Don't waste it on a Thanksgiving. Put it on a Sunday night if you want. Sunday night, fine. Sunday at 4 would be sweet. Monday night, Sunday night. That's
fine. It's interesting. I wonder if the NFL, as we're already talking about the schedule and the teams and the way things could go, and we will get to our 7 in the AFC. But if you're the NFL, that game, it's funny what you said. Like, you just said it very organically. That's going to be one of the biggest regular season games.
It'll be number one. It'll be the highest rated regular season game ever. Beating, it was Brett Favre and the Vikings against the Packers years ago.
So which of your four networks that you're in bed with gets that game? That's the problem the NFL has. And that's why I wonder
Well, or isn't it the road team? So because it's the game in Foxborough.
Right.
So the Bucks. So obviously the NFC. Now, I know they've had some trade-offs, though.
But,
so
but the Cowboys are normally the Fox game. Cowboys are normally on Fox on Thanksgiving.
No, I know,
but there's also Detroit in there as well. My point in bringing this up is that there's going to be jockeying behind the scenes. Like, wouldn't Monday Night Football love to have that? Wouldn't
Sunday Night Football love to have that?
Thursday night? Yeah. Oh,
who's
do we tickle Amazon?
The most? You're right.
They
put this game on Prime.
That would be something.
No, because they want to set a record. They want to break the record, so I think they're going to try to find the right spot. And Yeah, if it is on Thanksgiving night, that would be the NBC crew. If it's on a Sunday, I think it'd be the Fox crew because it'd be the road NFC team. They would have the rights to it. If it's on a Monday night, that's ESPN. So, yeah, they're all going to be fighting over that.
I'll trade you two Bills for this Patriots game.
Yeah.
Can you, you know, like you're swapping them out.
What it might be, because then remember they would also fight about which games could be flexed later in the year.
Yes.
NBC has, so there's certain blocking rights. So if Fox does get it, be like, you can't wait, you can't veto any other flex games.
This
there's
is
going to be
mess.
A lot of, oh, it's a mess.
It's a mess. It's a mess. Is it, yeah. And that's why I wonder if it's just, yeah. Well, if we put it on Thanksgiving, then it's a showcase. So and
like everybody gets the game.
There you
everybody
go.
Everybody has it.
That's really what it is, because to your point, too, if they want to set a record,
they will.
What better way for them to do it than to have it be the night game on Thanksgiving night?
I guess.
Imagine the pregame here.
They would probably set a record any time other than 1 o'clock. I think if it's a 4 o'clock game or if it's any of the prime times, that's when you'll get the record. The 1 o'clock might be the only thing that's
the 1 o'clock. Yeah. You're right. It would because there's too many games on,
and it's 10 o'clock West Pacific time.
That's right. So. And the four. Is one of those 4 o'clocks are normally on in like what 70% of the country or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's all that TV rigmarole to figure out as well. So the schedule drops next week, and that's when, yes, a lot of us, and listen, I can hear a lot of people now being like, I don't do it. Bull crap. Mm-hmm. When the schedule comes out, the first thing you do is go win, 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 loss, win, loss, loss. Everybody
and now we
does
have
it.
17 of them.
That's right.
Wow.
So we have an extra one to be able to pick through. But we sit here today and wanting your interaction with the show with the old three T's on Twitch and text and Twitter. And we will get to those a little bit later on. But the 7 playoff teams in the AFC, do you have a good handle? You think you have a good handle,
of course,
Keith.
I do. Yeah, I got all 7.
You do?
Yeah, of course I got all 7. Now that the...
No conjecture?
No, I know exactly who's going to be in there. So,
ooh,
yeah, so
we, I like this.
So free agency, for the most part, is done. There's a couple of guys lingering out there, and the draft's done. So I think the rosters are... Yeah, there might be another trade. There's going to be a couple surprise cuts. There's going to be a few jostling around. But we know what the rosters are pretty much.
Rodgers
right?
to Denver.
Right. So that's obviously a big one. I think Rodgers and Watson definitely could impact this greatly. If they go to one of the teams that I have just out, then that could push them in. So there's definitely, looking at the AFC, there's a bunch of pretty good teams, actually. Like I think, and the league's going to be thrilled because there's a good amount of parity because I bet there's 3 or 4 teams that I might have that you don't and vice versa, just based on it. Because there's only a couple, like, obviously they're in.
That's what I was just going to say is, but what are the couple obvious outs?
Oh, obvious outs?
Like
Jets and Jaguars.
And the only reason and the only reason I ask that is because they're very few. Right?
Yeah, like teams that have zero chance at the playoffs.
They're very, very few.
I would say the Jets, the Bengals, the Jaguars. And that might end the list.
Texans?
Oh, God, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, yes. And Texans. So there are four obvious outs.
That's a lot of teams then in play for 7 spots.
Right. So you have 12 teams fighting for 7 spots. I think that's a fair way of looking at it. So I have...
Shyam, you writing these down, by the way? Make sure
I'm on top of it. All right.
Because we haven't come up with a name for like our audio vault or something like that. I know John went into the depths of the machine.
Yeah,
he
went
the machine.
Like to, Drew Locke. Go ahead and save that cut.
There you go.
Kind of wish he didn't.
Yeah, but we need to come up with our own sort of lock for things like that.
So what garbage quarterback am I going to love this year? That's another, that's sort of maybe a side discussion.
Shimes just said Matt
Jones.
It's
the opposite effect on you for QBs as it is every other spot in every sport.
That's
so.
A great point. I hate Nick Ritchie and Franchi Cordero and Garrett Richards, and then I love Baker Mayfield
love
and Drew
Patrick
Locke.
Mahomes and Josh Allen this year.
Yeah, that's true. Those are my guys.
So put the good Maluki on somebody that wouldn't affect the Patriots.
I did pick Tom Brady to win the MVP and go to the Super Bowl last year. But anyway, do you want my division winners, or do you want my, how do you want,
well,
how do you want
no, I almost think we have to go by division winners first, because there's your top 4 seeds, and then the discussion really begins.
All right, I'm going to go the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
Cleveland Browns.
Woo!
Indianapolis Colts. Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
Bing, bang, bing, bing, bang, boom.
You and I are sharing a brain on 2 of those. I think the Colts win the division in the AFC South. And the Chiefs are just too good right now.
Okay.
And if anything, it's just because the Chiefs can score a ton of points. And if you get into a shootout with the Raiders, you know you're going to win that kind of game.
Right.
In terms of the AFC North, I mean, God almighty, all three of those teams in Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cleveland. I mean, I hate Cleveland because of where I grew up, but I recognize they have a ton of talent. I have to still go Baltimore. I don't have a lot of faith in the Steelers this year.
No, me neither. I think they're
but Roethlisberger's cooked. And their O-line has been decimated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it stinks. Roethlisberger won't play the whole season.
Pouncey's gone. Yeah. Villanueva's gone. I think it's going to be, you know, a 6 or 7-win season for the Steelers. Uh-huh. But I can't pick the Browns. I just can't.
In the AFC East, does this mean what I think it means? Are you really? Yeah, you are. Say it.
The Dolphins win the division.
Wow. I thought you were going Pats.
No. He just gave you a quick.
I know. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I thought you were going Pats there. I was like, look at this guy, Homer.
I think there's two things in play here. Number one is the Bills. I think that schedule might eat them up a little bit this year. And I do think there will be like a skosh of backslide for them.
Josh Allen's on a rocket.
And you like Tua, don't you?
Well,
he does. See, I don't.
I like it.
No. I'll be honest with you. You know what I'm banking on in Miami?
Deshaun Watson?
Yep. They get Deshaun Watson either before the year or at the trade deadline.
That is risky
business.
You're
going Dusty Rhodes on me? Risky business, baby. Hot pass. Risky business here.
I think so.
So I got Dolphins, Ravens, Colts, Chiefs.
And I got Bills, Browns, Colts, Chiefs.
Okay.
You guys love the Colts, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a good team.
So Shime hates Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz does not suck, and he's going to be in the goods. Worst. He's better than Phillip Rivers, and Phillip Rivers got him in the playoffs.
They won 11 games last year with Phillip Rivers.
Rivers.
Yeah.
And they lost their left tackle and didn't replace him.
He's an interception machine. Hey, look at the Bills.
Ask Patrick Mahomes how that went.
Nah, he'll be fine.
But look at the Bills. Yeah. John and I were talking about it before the show. Like, if you look at their secondary, there are going to be guys that are leaving in free agency.
They ignored a lot this offseason.
They did.
It was very questionable. They ignored running back, they ignored interior line, and they ignored corner depth.
And don't think old Bill B. Hoodsworth in reconfiguring this Patriots defense wasn't thinking about, okay, what do the Bills do best? Run the ball. If you take away the run game from then you put it all on the quarterback, and I think the Bills...
He's good.
I think the Bills are going to backslide a little bit. Okay, but now we get into the real Donnybrook and melee here. So we have all the rest of those teams left for three spots in the AFC.
That's right. In fact, two of your division winners I don't have in the playoffs. So I will go...
You don't have the Dolphins and the Ravens in?
Correct. My three wildcard teams are going to be your New England Patriots, the Tennessee Titans... And you always have to take a little bit of a long shot because it's never just chalk. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Whoa.
I think they were somehow 7-9 last year with Anthony Lynn, who might have been the most in over his head head coach in the league, and that's saying something. They had by far the worst special teams. Remember that game the Patriots played against the Chargers?
Yep.
Their special teams was atrocious. And I'm not a big, three phase guy, but it just needs to be average. It needs to be somewhat average. So they have a new head coach. It's year two of Justin Herbert. I like their team, and if they can stay healthy, I think the Chargers squeeze out a playoff.
You know what got me with the Chargers last year is that they lose a game on a pass interference in the end zone, and then the very next week, the same thing happens late in the game.
They were undisciplined last year.
That's the kind of stuff that only happens when you have a coach that either A, isn't being listened to, or B, doesn't know what he's doing.
Austin was tackled inbounds, and you let 15 seconds tick off the clock before you took the timeout. Why not take the timeout earlier there to save time?
I'm not sure.
So you get rid of that guy, that's about a 3 or 4 win difference.
Can you imagine if that was said here? Like, seriously.
Oh, my God.
Dick McPherson back in the day, somebody like that, whatever
not
it
sure.
is.
Like, you're not sure?
Because you never envisioned Belichick doing that.
No, I'm pretty sure Belichick, whether you agree with him or not, he has a reason for why he did it. But, no, I think the Chargers have that opportunity. I think they're going to have a pretty explosive offense. And they got some playmakers on defense. And I think if any of that group, you know, the under 500 team or right around 500 team, turns it around. There's going to be a couple of drop-offs of teams that were in the playoffs from a year ago. So give me the Chargers sneaking in.
I'll tell you what freaked me out about the Titans and why I can't go with them is because they gave up a ton of points last year. And I don't know if they've necessarily fixed the problem. And that's a team that, even though they did score a lot of points last year, they're not like a high... If you can slow down that run game a little bit, I think you sort of handicap them offensively. My other playoff teams in terms of the wild card are the Bills, the Patriots, and then the Ravens. I think the Ravens have done a
You have the Ravens as a division winner.
Oh, did I?
No, no, no.
Yeah. No, no, no. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I meant the Browns. My bad.
Oh, so you do have the Browns in.
Okay. I do have the Browns in as the 7 seed. I think the Titans kind of backslide just a little bit. I don't think anybody else in the West.
How dare you besmirch the name of Ryan Tannehill?
I know. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's great.
Guy, Mike Vrabel,
AJ Brown's going to have 2,500 yards receiving this year,
by the way.
He's
a beast.
He's the only receiver on the team.
He's a beast. But what about the loss of your guy, Arthur
Smith?
You guys worried about that?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's right. More so that there's no one else besides A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry on the offense that could be the issue this year.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
I feel like their offense is almost like on thin ice. Like at some point they're going to step and like it's just going to crash into the lake.
Yeah, it's like a poor man's version of Aikman, Smith, and Irvin.
And the other thing, like, too, is
but, they get the ball every time.
But with Tennessee, if you think about it, right? Like, Jonnu Smith came up here. Did they really replace him in free agency?
You don't like Fursker?
Fursker.
The Fursker, great. And the offensive coordinator is already gone Arthur and went Smith to Atlanta.
Gone. See, Fursker was the guy that you would look at in fantasy, and he'd be available. And you're like, do I want to pick up Fursker?
He might get a touchdown this week.
No, I'm not going to pick up. I might pick up Fursker.
He had like 6 touchdowns.
I know.
One catch, one yard, one touchdown.
I was just going to say, one catch, 1 yard, one touchdown.
The Fursker hat trick.
Exactly right. But Jacksonville and Houston, I think they're lost this year.
No chance.
I don't know what the hell to make of the Raiders. Do you?
No. So, but they're in the group that has a chance to. Yes. You can't officially rule them out just yet. And also, they have to be a wild card. If we're talking about Denver getting Rodgers or Watson, I think the Raiders have to be kind of in the mix for that as well. I know they have Derek Carr and Mariota right now, but if John Gruden could upgrade from those guys, he would. And they get some pretty talented dudes.
And if you look at the Raiders last year, like, tell me how this just does not sound like it correlates at all. They were 8-8, but they were 2-6 at home, and they gave up 478 points, which was only topped last year by Jacksonville in the AFC. They were minus 44 in net point differential and went 8-8. That does not correlate into being an 8-8 football team, those numbers.
Yeah, I think it was, I want to say them and the Bears were the only teams to have winning records on the road and losing records at home.
It's unbelievable.
Like, it's just bizarre.
And the Raiders are 2-6. Like, it wasn't, we went 3-5 and, lost a tough one to where we were going to be they were 2-6 at home.
They also had a miracle win against the Jets, which was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that's true. But I think as far as drop-offs are concerned, I know, Gresh, you're saying the Bills probably, they still get into the playoffs. But that's the thing is they have room for error because last year they were 13-3.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, you're worse than you were a year ago. All right, you're still probably winning double digits and you're going to get in. I think we definitely agree, though, that Pittsburgh, remember, what were they, 10-0, 11-0? They were undefeated for the longest time.
Yeah.
And nobody bought it. Nobody bought it. Like, no, that's going to fall apart. And then ultimately it did, and they lose in the playoffs and everything else. So I think that's the team that is going to kind of free fall the most based on what their record was last year.
Yeah, and I think that with not only Tennessee, the Raiders, Cincinnati is not ready to come up yet.
Jets. No. Well, and Burrow isn't going to be there the whole season. I think if Burrow was there all season, you might say maybe you talk themselves into at least being frisky, but he's not. So they're not going to be ready for it.
So the two teams where there are true wild cards, right? One is Houston, not in terms of them being good, but is Houston to the point by week 6 to where they're like, okay, we're now going to move on from Watson.
Right.
Now that we've seen who might not be great, and that's where I wonder if Miami makes a move. And then you mentioned, and you very much connected Denver and Aaron Rodgers as well.
Yeah, yeah.
If you put Aaron Rodgers on the Broncos,
I got him in.
Are they a 10-win team? Do they go 10-7?
Yep, I think so. They had, Cortland Sutton's a great receiver, and he went down early last year, and they had a bunch of other injuries, too.
But they stink on defense.
Not a very good defense.
Well, maybe the offense ends up helping them in terms of shaping up the defense a little bit if they got someone like Rodgers.
I agree. I think we've seen that for years with Brady, where all of a sudden the defense just looks better because, guess what, they're long fields, and they're not on the field for that as much time and all that stuff. So I think Rodgers and Watson, if they go to a team as talented as Denver, and I do think Denver does have talent. I think if Rodgers goes there, he gets them in the playoffs. Not enough to win the division or anything like that. Not better than the Chiefs, but that would definitely throw an element in here where you're like, all right, now one of those wild card teams that we had might get bumped out.
when you look at all the teams that won double-digit games last year.
There's a bunch.
There's a bunch, right? And you know that's not going to hold. Like, that just it just doesn't feel like that is. Now, I know that 10 wins will be viewed very differently this year because of the 17-game regular season, yeah. And there will be...
I can't wrap my head around that still.
I know, I'm with you,
so 10
right?
And 7, I'm like, is that even good?
I have a hard time like putting that into context.
Yeah.
And you're going to play a crossover game, too. So it's right. All AFC-NFC, and those count on your overall record, but they don't really count for tiebreakers. So
but what a
the
big
extra
swing
game
that
doesn't
is.
Kind of factor in.
So I hate the extra game, and part of it is I think right now they have it set up very fair, where everybody in your division plays the same NFC division, play them all. Everybody, and then the same AFC division, play them all. You play each other twice. And then, yeah, you have the first or, you know, you have your games against the other divisions based on where you finished the year before.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, what an important swing game. So you'll have the Patriots, they play the Cowboys. So, again, playing the NFC East won't be as dramatic. But just think about this. In the NFC South, somebody's going to play the Bucks and somebody's going to play the Panthers.
Mm.
Like, for a swing game? Like, how
huge.
Fair is that? Like,
very
and
big.
If it comes down to one game and you're like, well, they played the best team in football. We played one of the worst teams. And that's why we missed the playoffs. Like, that's – and – well, I guess they're going to do home. Everybody's going to get an extra home game in one conference, right? So that part of it at least will be fair.
They'll balance that out.
But
somehow.
Who you play is could be dramatic.
Well, to your point, the Bills this year, their crossover is the first place team in the NFC East. That just happens to be the Washington football team,
yeah.
Right? So yeah.
So that part.
But if you play the Giants,
yeah.
You're much more worried about playing the Giants, given what they've done in the offseason, than, say, Washington.
Yeah.
Now, the Bills will end up getting Carolina, you had mentioned. There's the whole crossover with the with that NFC South.
Right.
But on the road, listen to this for the Bills on the road this year. We know those divisional opponents, and they get Jacksonville. But they go to Kansas City, they go to Tennessee, they go to Tampa Bay, they go to New Orleans.
Wow.
Yeesh.
Yeah, that's a lot. Although New Orleans, I don't know how good they're going to be this year.
Yeah, New Orleans, it's funny. I know I didn't prepare anything on the NFC, but
Bucks.
If you were to...
You don't like LASIK Janus?
No.
I don't hate him as much as I think Grush probably
does. I'm way out on Jameis Winston.
5,000 yards inbound, boys.
Guy won a Heisman.
That's great. Hey, listen.
That's a W.
There you go. He's eating W's.
That's a W. You know what else he's doing?
Yeah,
stealing
crab legs.
They'll be eating his contract, too, because that guy's going to intercept his way out of the league once again. Like, I don't think I don't think he can be fixed. But it feels like the NFC is pretty top-heavy.
Yes.
Right? Like,
yeah,
can you get it out of your head that it's anyone other than Green Bay or Tampa Bay or Seattle?
If Aaron Rodgers isn't on the Packers, then that opens it up completely. Then the Packers might miss the playoffs. Like, that's how much I think he is their team.
If Rodgers is on the Packers, is there anybody else in that NFC North that can challenge? I don't see anybody.
I like Justin Fields a lot. So if Justin Fields wins that job early, I wonder if the Bears could be kind of frisky.
In the division?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder about that because you could build a Walmart between the gap between Chicago and Green Bay.
Like the NFC West, I think you could make a case for all four of those teams to win it. Like, I think the Rams are probably the favorite, but if the Niners are healthy.
I'm with you minus Arizona.
I like Arizona.
I'm out on Arizona almost on principle because I'm shocked they drafted a defensive guy 16th. Yeah. Like, that was a big upset for them. But they're the proverbial, we're going to try to win 51-45 every game. And it just, I don't think it works. San Francisco should bounce. And
they're all good.
And don't sell me on Minnesota. For the past 5 years, Minnesota this minute, they're 8-8 every year. 7-9, maybe 9-7, 8-8.
Just hire Jeff
They're
Fisher.
Nothing but average. Yeah, that's exactly
that's
right.
What they should do.
That's
Watch
right.
Watch out for Twift, boys. Watch out.
Football team?
Football team.
Really?
I think
with
they
Ryan Fitzpatrick,
I think
though,
they run
year?
Away with that division. That defense is going to be
I
the
mean,
best
they could run away
with
the division.
Football.
Fine.
Yeah, I think they could win a playoff game or two.
Yeah.
I like the Giants to bounce. Health depending. I mean, obviously, they it'd be nice
Saquon
to have Barkley for
together.
A year.
I
mean, maybe.
Would be nice.
We'll see. So there you go. We gave you our little breakdown, and your seven teams. You could send it via text 37937 on the text at Gresh Keefe. And, of course, in the Twitch chat, you can take on Shime's hot takes. I'm sure some of the Twitch chatters are already yelling at Shime for some of the things that he has uttered on these airwaves. Now, speaking of that, let's trend.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Red Sox baseball tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com. In Boston proper, you can hear it on the Odyssey app. They'll be taking on the Baltimore Orioles. Pretty good pitching matchup tonight. Eddie Rodriguez against the, how would I say it? Like, repurposed, reborn Matt Harvey, I guess?
Yeah, Matt Harvey, like 3.0.
I know reborn is tough, but you know, he's got another chance.
He's got a new gimmick.
He does. Yeah, oh, I like that. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, you hear him, Joe Castiglione, and every once in a while they're talking about the Cape League with Lou Maloney during bad baseball games, like against Detroit. Will Fleming with us here on Gresh and Keefe. And so this would normally be a time of year, Will, where, like, right, it's the whole playing Baltimore, get to go to Baltimore, all that stuff. Like, how weird is it for you to still at this point not be, like, on the road with the team, sort of settling in the way you normally would? Like, are you still in a bizarro world?
I think we are. By the way, great to be with you guys. I've loved the bleeping show so far. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, see? You guys. Nice. Gets it, this guy. You're next, so get ready.
But it is really bleeping weird to not be on the road with the team. I mean, it is, you know, our rhythm is set by home, and then you get out on the road, and being in Baltimore in that hotel, going to Camden Yards, seeing the games. And, you know, the thing you really miss is being around the batting cage before the ball game and talking to guys. You know, I'd like to talk to Franchi Cordero and say, what was it like being thrown into that game last night? And instead, everything just has to be so formalized. And the Red Sox have done a good job of getting us access to guys, but it's just not the same. Where I would walk up to Tim Hyers and say, what is going on with Bobby Dalbec? And I would walk over to Christian Arroyo and say, how does your hand feel? What, show me where it got hit. You know, that's the kind of stuff. To me, that's the way to do this job. And that's the essence of what it means to do for our fans and our listeners what is required. And so that part is really hard. And then, of course, there's just the logistical side of it, which is trying to call a baseball game off a monitor and being so dependent on the director in Baltimore for when he's going to flip the camera, whether it's fair or foul. That part of it's hard too. But we're thrilled to be doing it in any way that we can. But I'm telling you, I'm counting the days till we're back out on the road so you can do this job the right way.
Do you almost have to do it on a slight delay, Will? Because I feel like now, it's one thing at the ballpark, but you guys have done so many games that you just get used to it. But doing it off of a screen, a fly ball to left, a wall ball, or a home run, like the way you do your call is very, very different. Do you almost have to do a slight delay? Otherwise, you get sort of caught with, all due respect to John Sterling, but the old balls deep to left,
it's
out, way back, way back, and
caught.
That part of it's got to be really tough.
Yeah, it is. And I think the thing you just keep reminding yourself, just wait. I mean, really, one extra tick. And, of course, that's another part of this thing, right? Our job is to tell people, with the tone of our voice, whether a ball is going to get into the gap or whether it's gone or not. And you can't be sure watching it off these TV monitors because they're positioned at different angles. And sometimes a ball hits at a certain trajectory that in Chicago is going to go out, and in Baltimore it isn't. So, yeah, you definitely have to wait a little bit. And I think most of the time I've had grace from our fans on some of those plays. You'll get the occasional thing. Will Fleming is the worst judge of fly balls in the history of the sport. You know, it's like,
all right, there's a lot of guys that have done a lot of games.
Yeah, right. We're going to go to way back Troy O'Leary in Cleveland again, for crying out loud, in the late 90s. Right. In the early 2000s, Will Fleming of the Red Sox Radio Network here with Gresh and Keefe. I know last year was a really odd year, really, for everybody, and there was no Alex Cora. But one of the things, Will, that Rich and I talked about is, it looks like this group is having fun. It's led into maybe some of the comebacks. Are you just seeing a different mix and blend with the players and the way they're interacting with each other?
There's no question. And I think that is Cora driven. Although I would say that guys like Alex Verdugo have been a huge part of the chemistry of this team. I mean, Kevin Plawecki brings the laundry cart in last year as like this escape from sadness, you know? And now it's like an emblem of everything that's great about this group. And, you know, it struck me really the first time we saw them on the road this year, where all the shots from these TV monitors are in the dugout. And after every at-bat, guys are up next to each other talking over what they've seen from the pitcher on the mound, or and moreover, they're laughing with each other and they're smiling and they're into each other. So I think it's a great group, and I think Alex drives a lot of it. I think Verdugo is right in the heart of all this stuff. Marwin Gonzalez has been a really nice addition, I think. And I think our fans maybe are tired of hearing me rave about Xander Bogaerts every night, but it's impossible not to. The guy is everything you want in a player, in a person, in a leader. And I go back to last night's game. It's a game they had to have, and it's a game that really was wobbling and was just a disaster in a lot of ways. And, you know, Xander gets a big hit. He's put on base, and here comes Raffy Devers after a walk, and he's really cheering, supporting Devers and pointing to him, saying, like, buddy, it's on you now. Let's go. And Devers gets the big hit, drives in the runs, and Xander, when they bring in the new pitcher, sprints across the field and gives Raffy a bear hug, and they're laughing about it in the dugout. I mean, this is the kind of thing that, you know, no analytics, no sabermetrics, none of the guys who are cranking these numbers in the black room telling you where to put guys in lineups and where to position fielders, that stuff doesn't show up there. And you can't convince me that baseball, at its essence, is not driven by that stuff. And you guys have been around long enough. Think about the teams for the Red Sox that have won. They like each other, whether it's the Idiots or that 18 team that just seemed to, you know, have that magic, beautiful chemistry. There's something going on with this group, and I think that's the reason that one of the reasons, additionally, you know, the great offense they got in the heart of the order. But that's the reason to me they've been able to have some of these comeback wins and be where they are.
What, besides them just being in first place, has surprised you the most 30-plus games into the season?
I guess the starting pitching. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know whether surprised is the right word, but, you know, pleased to see it. And, right. You know, who knew what we would get from Pivetta or Garrett Richards and, frankly, Eduardo Rodriguez. Evaldi, although a little hiccup yesterday in the last two, frankly. Evaldi looked like an ace a lot of the time. I think it's important to see what Eduardo Rodriguez does tonight, guys. I really do. I think that I think the runway is running out now on the, well, it's still spring training, it's dead arm, he's coming back from myocarditis, we're going to give him a wide berth. I think that it's equally impressive and amazing what he's done, but also a little troubling now that the velocity's not there and it's more primarily changeup. I think you got to get that four-seam fastball up in the zone, you know, at 94, 95. And that's when he's truly elite. Alex Cora said something interesting last time I talked to him about Eddie. He said, in some ways, he thinks 91, 92 Eddie is a harder at bat. I'm not sure I agree with that. I mean, I think that's one of the things about Alex that's so awesome for this team is that he's totally glass half full. And he looks into these guys' souls and sees the best of them and gets the best out of them. But I would rather have Eduardo throw 94, and I think everything else plays off that. So we'll be watching for that. But with the combination of Richards and Evaldi and Pivetta and Eddie being back and on the mound, I think that's been the thing that has, you know, made you most optimistic about this team.
All right, I want to get to the real important stuff. I went to your Wikipedia, yeah, and it says here he claims he is taller than 6'7". Now, as someone who is 6'5", but wide, so everyone doesn't believe I'm 6'5", right? So what is the truth of the height of Will Fleming?
Well, we can thank Mutt for that Wikipedia entry because we were in spring training and Rob and I were doing the games and my wallet fell out in one of these booths and Rob made, you know, as Rob will do, Brad Falk. He made it like a 40-minute thing that he saved my life by picking up my wallet. And he looked at my ID, and it says 6'7", because I am 6'7", and in fact, maybe a little bit more than that. And then Mutt was like up in arms about it, saying I'm lying about my height, a little short man syndrome for Mutt in that case. So, I mean, we got the laser tape out in the booth and measured me, and I'm 6'7½". So I don't know what to tell you.
Did Rob Bradford take all the cash out of your wallet when he found it? That's the next question.
I feel like there's a good chance.
Yeah,
I feel like there's a pretty good chance.
It ended up in the back of his rental car with all the discarded bags of chips and everything, and took it on the air mattress he was sleeping on in spring training.
I don't really understand the Mutt argument there. Like, does he think you're not?
What?
He wants you to be shorter than that?
I think he legitimately thought I was just being dishonest, you know?
Who's lying?
We had fun on that pregame show, though. I think he's done an awesome
job.
Well,
here's what, if anybody's going to lie about their height on a license, it would be Mutt.
Mutt
would be like, 5'10". Like, Mutt, come on.
He's heightening.
Why would you heighten at 6'7"?
Right, no.
Why would you possibly
Yeah, I really need to get up there for my cachet at the DMV. 6'6" just doesn't quite cut it.
Yeah, they're not going to let you on planes if you're 6'9". Like, why would you lie about that?
Honestly.
And when you worked at McCoy Stadium, you had to duck under everything. I wasn't that, but
oh,
I was pretty
God.
Close.
You
but...
have no idea.
Oh, I do, friend.
We're in all these cobwebs everywhere, metal beams all over the place. Being tall is better than being short, but it comes with some downsides, that's for sure.
That's right. Last thing, real quick, baseball question. Chris Sale, are you expecting anything from him this season?
I mean, I'm expecting to get him back on a mound, say, late July and August. It is impossible to have any expectations beyond that. Mm-hmm. I don't put anything past Sale. I mean, he's one of those guys who's such a competitor. I think he'll push to the finish line. And the main thing I want to see is he doesn't have to be all the way back, Chris Sale, but you would sure like to see him on a competitive major league mound and looking at least like a facsimile of himself and just kind of come back. And I mean, would it be unbelievable if he came back and was the Chris Sale of 2016? That'd be pretty incredible. I mean, that'd be a great trade deadline acquisition that you don't have to pay a dime for. I'm not holding my breath that he's going to come back and be the Chris Sale. How can you, right? I mean,
no,
you see all these guys who come back from Tommy John, and some guys are remarkable. Some come back and they're better. They come back quickly, and it's an amazing transformation. To me, with all the stuff that's going on with him, whether it's COVID or the neck, or it seems like there's just all these, you know, setbacks with him. So I would love to see it, but let's just say I'm not. When I think about what this Red Sox team is going to be down the stretch, it's hard for me to, with any degree of confidence, say, well, don't forget about the fact that Chris Sale is going to come back. I'd love to see it, but I don't think I'm counting on it, and I don't think the Red Sox are either.
Will Fleming, a part of the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, will be a part of the call of the game tonight against the Orioles. Will, thanks for the time, and it's good to know that I've already thought of three names of our segments that we can have with you and messing around, so I can't wait.
This is
good stuff.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys. And I don't say this just because you're having me on, but I have really, really enjoyed the show. And I think what you've done in the middle of the day is bring laughter back. And it's fun to listen to. And by the way, we appreciate how much you're talking about the Red Sox. So thanks so much, guys.
Wow, very
thank
cool.
You, Will.
Thank you, Will Fleming. There we go. There goes Will Fleming with us on the Harbor One Hotline. And speaking of the laughs, another Doug Flutie reference.
Oh, boy.
But it leads us to the Dork Podcast. That's next.
I love the show so far.
We're back to Gresh and Keith.
Then just stick your finger in the blue cheese and suck it off of there.
On WEEI.
We'll get together, we'll drive, we'll get a chance to... Hang on 1 second. Yes, Commissioner.
The Commissioner.
The Riddler. I gotta run, guys.
Can you just go to Publix and grab us a Cuban sandwich? Hit the bakery, the cookies too. Thanks. Will Batman make it to Publix? Will we get our Cuban sandwiches with spicy mustard? Tune in to the same bad internet for the same bat camera guys.
So that was on the NBC camera guys Twitter at NBCS camera guys. That's our guys. Moose and Glenn, who are, they're chubby. Actually, let me just say it. They're fat.
Come on.
So that's why they're talking about food.
They're brethren.
As a fellow fat, I can confirm.
Oh, shut up.
John, you're out. You're not in the group.
You are the furthest thing from.
You're not in the group, John.
Listen, until you
I want to be on the team.
You can't be on the team. You're not on the turbo team.
You're
not. Don't run.
I want to be in the club.
Until you have side boob, you're out.
Or under boob sweat.
You're out.
All right. Yeah. Come on, John.
And Glenn is full of under boob sweat with the camera guys.
Come on.
But they talked to Doug Flutie.
These guys.
Two days in a row.
Another Flutie mention. One of Gresh's favorite players.
Oh, my God.
A great what if.
Oh, Lord. Well, apparently he has built like a bat cave, I guess. And
he built a bat cave, which you got to respect. I guess his garage, he owns like a Batmobile, and it looks like a bat cave. He's got all the stuff in there. I don't know if he has the dinosaur and all the other stuff that Bruce Wayne has.
The card and the giant penny.
I don't know if he has the penny down there, but he's starting from somewhere. This is all over Gresh's head, but he's got a nice little setup there, and those guys were able to do it, and they all dressed up as different characters. They had a good time with it.
So they did, and that actually leads to a Dork Podcast question that you and Davey had on Podcast, which, by the way, you can find at WEEI.com.
If money was no limit, On the money. And you could fill your room. Now, I personally don't like the term man cave for some reason. I just don't like
it. Yeah, I'm with you.
It sounds
like date night. I'm married to her. We go out all the time.
Yeah, it's date night. Like a man cave, it sounds like somebody who likes Entourage. But anyway, I have a dragon's lair. So that's maybe a little bit different.
I love you for saying
that. I have a dragon's lair. Maybe you have an eagle's nest. Maybe you have as somebody who wrote us the Dork Podcast, you have a brojo. Whatever you might. Davey has a bullpen. Whatever you have.
Right.
You have that. So the question was, you can fill it with any five items that you would find at an arcade.
Oh.
So it could be the arcade games themselves. It can be skee ball. It could be a little pop a shot. It could be throw the old football through the target. Like whatever you want to do, you have five things to put in there. And to me, you want a variety. So I'm going NBA Jam because that is just an absolute classic arcade game.
It's a tough one.
You can play against the computer. You can play against a buddy. I'm going NBA Jam. I also want some sort of racing game. Give me like Mario Kart. You could go Daytona 500, whatever.
There we go.
You have four seats and you're racing against each other. So that's a good one. I also maybe go old school Ms. Pac-Man. Just a little one player.
Interesting.
You know, maybe you're by yourself. You're trying to beat your high score. Something like that. You're going to want a gun game of some sort, whether it's Time Crisis or House of the Dead.
Jurassic Park? Yeah, you've never been in those where you sit in like the car and you're shooting the dinosaurs?
You know what I did do was the VR, the virtual reality for those in the
nuts.
Little Oculus action?
Davey almost threw up. Me and Davey did the...
Did he get like motion sick?
I guess. Yeah, he
got his eyesight's so good that he gets motion sick.
I think so. Maybe his eyesight's too good. So those would be the ones. And then maybe like I kind of like the deer hunter or the buck hunter. That might be one of mine. Is that one of yours?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a good layout.
It reminds me when I was 12 years old and got my first hunting license and went out and shot a deer.
There you go.
12 years old.
So what else
would you
have in there?
Oh, I'd have a golden tee, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
But I would have the one where it's the unit that sort of sets in front of you, but it's on your TV on the wall because I like to conserve the space because I want a skee ball.
Skee ball's good.
There was a place around the corner from my house. I was telling the boys on the off-air show that it's like fantasy land. They were gutting everything, and they were getting rid of their skee ball machines.
Oh, you gotta get in on that.
We had a hard conversation.
I was going to say.
Because that would be something,
that'd
right?
Be nice. Now, what do you...
I like the NASCAR racing game. I'm all in on the Daytona 500 deal.
Those are
especially the fours.
Yes.
Because then you can yell and talk
junk. Oh, you're screaming at each other, and you're right there. Oh, it's a good time.
I
feel like you're really behind the wheel, you know?
I was going to say, I want an NFL game. Like, you know how you mentioned the NBA
like Blitz,
Jam?
Maybe?
Yes, I want NFL Blitz.
Blitz
that was
fun.
So fun.
That's a good one. Yeah, you have to have a sports game for sure.
Yeah.
So Blitz is fun.
And then the fourth one is
like the fighting
very
game,
open for conjecture.
Like a Mortal Kombat.
I love old school Tekken.
Are you? Wow. We
I
just
love
became best
Tekken.
Friends. Tekken's the best. Tekken's the best fighting
Chi Chao Lin wins. It was my favorite. I want to be Chi Chao Lin
Tekken.
All the time.
Law was obviously a go-to.
Yeah.
Or Lei was a very
Lei.
Good character. So I love Tekken. You could also...
What about like one of the side-scrolling X-Men games?
X-Men or like Ninja Turtles?
Yes, both of those awesome.
Four-player? Well, boy, not that I have three friends, but whatever. You have
but
a couple of
one person
spots.
Play Cyclops, one can play Wolverine.
That's our problem. Yeah, we'd have to have everybody on this show to play the four-seater game because we got nobody else to turn to.
Just ask my wife, do you want to play Turtles?
Yeah,
no.
No.
Get out of my face. Like, all right, well, I'll be down. Playing Ms. Pac-Man again.
Can you bring some turtles home, though?
Yeah, I'll take a turtle.
Not the food turtles.
No.
The whole caramel things and the pecans and all that whatnot. wait until we get into 3T, because we have a bunch of people on the text at 379-937 who are jumping in on this. And it's the way you can contribute to the show, right? The 3T, the Twitch chat. We've got text 379-937 and, of course, on Twitter, at Gresh Keefe. The five things. I'll tell you what I would do. You mentioned money is no object, and I know that this isn't technically in an arcade.
Uh-oh.
But I want a bowling lane bad.
Oh, you can kind of fudge that. There are some places. Like, you go up to Fun Spot. They have, like, the section over there where there's, like, a little mini bowling going on. That's not bad.
But that's the thing. I don't want see, what I would do is I would try to build, a place in my backyard that would be, like, a big, long building to where you know the bowling lane's going to be in there.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Right? And then I'm going to put in a...
Laser tag. Laser tag.
I have not played laser tag in a long time.
Yeah, you're a big target.
There's a place in Fall River that is apparently really good.
Blast.
Yeah, I am. I'm too big a target.
Yeah, you just...
Paintball.
You're asking for it.
Like a hit and lay there. What am I going to do?
Have you ever played the NFL Passing Challenge arcade game?
You throw the actual ball.
Yeah,
right?
You throw footballs into like balls like and rack up points.
That's fun. The Papa Shot might be better. A little shooting, little mini hoops.
I'm not a good hoops player, so I prefer the football.
The Patriots confirmed Mac Jones on that game there, Shine. So of course you would bring it up. But
my buddies and I one time just took turns setting the record on one of those NFL games at a place in like Tampa, Florida.
And the record still holds.
It probably does. Every day. I'll be honest with you, it probably does.
Does it still say Shine?
Pretty sure the place closed down.
The golf swing suite that they have down at Foxwoods that's connected to Topgolf, you mentioned Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah, Ms. Pac-Man.
They have the giant Pac-Man game.
Oh, I've seen that one on the wall. Yeah, some of the David Busters that have those thing is where it's dope. Enormous. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's hard not to get addicted to that. Mm-hmm. Are you a Galaga guy?
That's going back in the day,
like Space Invaders, Galaga,
no,
any of that?
I'm not.
Qbert.
Yes, Qbert I'll play.
Qbert, you're playing?
Yeah, I had that for Nintendo when they made it. They made a bunch of the arcade games for Nintendo. I remember playing Qbert.
I'm with you on that. All right, so 3T, I'm sure, is going to be jumping with the, if you could like fill up your gaming area and you had all the money that you needed to do it, what would be the things that you would throw in there to... what was it? Not Man Cave. What was the one that I popped over that you'd
mention? The Dragon's Lair.
The Eagle's Nest. Eagle's Nest.
Or you could go with the Brojo.
Brojo! That's the one! Brojo, baby!
We got that. There we go.
Yeah, we figured that out. Right. Because, you know, in my mind, I can't remember a damn thing. Mm-hmm. 25 minutes of uninterrupted sports talk. Our friend John Anderson, who's one of the producers of this show, wrote a column that's on WEEI.com about Mac Jones and the Rookie of the Year. We'll make sure to bring Shime in studio so there is no altercation next.